Welcome to International House of Combat. Kelly Nelson here, and no, I'm not coming from under the water. I'm coming from a laptop microphone because my headset microphone died the other day, actually, when I was recording Worldcast with Pete and Johnny. So yeah, this is the new normal for me. And we're also on Zoom now, so that's another new development. And I'm joined by my weekly partner in international travels and watching wrestling from around the world, Steve Willey. How are you doing, Steve?
I am doing well. You are in a cave, I believe, underwater, but we are in a lawless land in my home state because there are, as we speak, I didn't even tell you this before we went in there, but there are literally no laws considering COVID in our state right now because evidently we turned into the Wild Wild West overnight.
Oh, geez.
So everything is open because of political infighting.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I think, you know, I consider this pretty much a COVID-free zone. Yeah, it's a depressing world out there. But, yeah.
So, basically, I'd like to join you in your cave, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's appropriate for these post-apocalyptic times that we're in that I'm pretty low-tech. And, yeah, exactly. A cave is probably better, a better description of it. I think I had much better audio quality 7 years ago when I started podcasting, and that was with like a microphone that I got from a Cracker Jack box, basically.
No way.
Well, no, not literally, but it may as well have been. It was like $11, I think I paid for it. That was about 2011. I bought it originally for a class I was taking in college back then. And then I had it for years. But anyway, maybe that'll make a comeback. I came across it about a month ago, but I don't know where it is right now. I looked for it the other day. But anyway, for now, it's going to be laptop mic for me. And today, as we talked about at the end of last week, we're going to Deutschland. We're going to the wonderful land of Germany today for... This is a unique situation today. We're just going to look at one match, but that's because the video on YouTube is 54 minutes and 18 seconds. The actual match time, I'm not sure, probably at least 45 minutes maybe, because I'm pretty sure we get some lengthy introductions here before the match, but we'll see. We're going to 1982, specifically December 18th, 1982, to Bremen, Germany, for a match between the great Austrian-German legend Otto Wanz against the even greater Bob Sergeant Slaughter, or Sergeant Slaughter, as he's, of course, more commonly known. So I saw this pop up. I was looking for German footage last week, and I believe there's a pretty good YouTube channel. Surge One is the name of the channel, S-E-R-G-J-E-1. And it has a ton of German footage from the late 80s, early 90s. And then they have some stuff from earlier. And this was one that was literally uploaded, I think, just few hours before I discovered it on his site. And when I saw Sergeant Slaughter, I was pretty excited because I love Sergeant Slaughter from 1982, from the early 80s. And then when I saw the time, I was like, oh my God, what kind of match are we going to get here with Slaughter going against Otto Wanz for what will probably be a very long match. So yeah, we're going to Germany, a country I've visited several times. My wife is of German descent. Her parents came over to Canada just a few months before she was born. So yeah, I've been back or I've been with her quite a few times over the years. It's an awesome country. You gotta love them because all they do is just like to eat and drink beer. It's a great, great country. And yeah, Steve, have you ever been to Germany?
No, I have not. I know my wife has also been there. She is 100% German. And my dad spent some time there too. He's in the National Guard for many years. So that was always like the stopping point if you had to go somewhere. And I know he's a huge fan of it because he is German as well. And he loves to eat and he loves to drink. So
yeah,
fits right in.
Well, that's great. That's something we have in common. Our wives are both German. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my second question is, of course, do you have any familiarity with wrestling from Germany? I know you mentioned, of course, you're into WXW, the modern German product, but any familiarity with historical German wrestling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely none. This would be the first. They just have the WXW knowledge from probably over the last 10 years, I'd say. But yeah. From 1982, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I mean, I know little bits of the history. Germany's a huge country and with a large population and a long, long history, of course. But in as far as like the history of wrestling, it's not a country that's too well known outside of its own borders. They do use rounds, or at least they do sometimes use rounds, like the English did during the World of Sport years. And on the first episode of this podcast, we talked about a match from England. And I think I brought up I asked a question as to whether England was the only country to use rounds. So the answer is no. Germany also used the round system, but I don't know how they connect. Other than a lot of English workers definitely worked in Germany at this time and probably years before and years after. So there's overlap there. Otto Vaughn's the man that Sergeant Slaughter's wrestling here was a pretty legendary figure in Germany. He was the longtime top guy in at least one major promotion. And that's another thing. I'm not sure how many promotions there exactly were in Germany at its peak. But Vaughn's was, a big star year after year. And he made one significant appearance in America in the early 80s, 1982 in the AWA. He actually won the AWA title from Nick Bockwinkel in St. Paul, Minnesota in August of 82. And he held it for about 6 weeks or so into early October and lost it in Chicago back to Nick Bockwinkel. That was, of course, a political thing where I'm sure there may even have been some cash involved where Vaughn's got the title for a payout to Vern, but I'm not 100% sure. I just remember in the old Pro Wrestling Illustrateds for that year, 1982, I think those two matches were both runner-ups that year for Match of the Year. That's why I remembered it. Yeah, because it was weird that you had a match between two guys twice in the runners-up. That was rare. I could be wrong that both were, but I know for sure one at least was a runner-up to Match of the Year, and I think it was both, which is strange. Like even in the early 80s, the AWA wasn't exactly dominating the awards. So I'm wondering why those two matches stood out for whatever reason.
Maybe just the sheer chance that a European wrestler came over and maybe dropped a little bit of more money than to Bern Gagne. Maybe threw a little bit to PWI as well.
Yeah, Stanley Weston, yeah, the publisher. Yeah, yeah that's our Bill Apter. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Bill, yep.
Yeah, that could have happened. Yeah, maybe Otto Vaughn's had, he'd had a successful 1970s, was riding pretty high in the early 80s, made a lot of money, so he started throwing it around all crazy in the States, buying title reigns, buying magazine publicity. I mean, that's very possible. very, very interesting. I know you have a few notes from Meltzer that Meltzer wrote when Vaughn's passed, and that was in 2017.
Go over some as we're watching because I found I don't know if Slam still does a lot of wrestling, but there's like his obituary from Slam up in Canada.
Yeah.
Has even more so than Meltzer. So be some cool stories, I think, to go through.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot of time to fill in this match. Meltzer did write an extensive biography or obituary when Vaughn's passed away, and I did read it at the time, but I didn't go back. The new lazy Kelly that doesn't go back and do research, I didn't go back to check anything out. So, yeah, we'll wing it here. This is, I have a glass of beer with me, so I'm ready to go, German style. Listeners at home.
I have a bit of the rocks tequila here, the Terramana, which is excellent. So I am ready to go as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, a good alcoholic beverage is a good idea. If you have perhaps some sausages or large pretzels kicking around the house, you can maybe eat those too while we're watching this. All right. So we'll get right into it. All 54 minutes and 18 seconds of it. And we'll do the old 3-2-1 countdown and go. And on go, we'll keep going. 3-2-1 go. All right. So I'm thinking like the Australian footage from last time that this was on a VHS or a DVD release years later, or maybe in the 80s, because right now we've got the sweet sounds of some 80s synth playing in the background.
Definitely synthesizer here.
Yes. So maybe this is contemporary 1982. We're in black and white. Or is it really washed out? I think it's black and white, actually. Gigantic flags being brought to the ring here. I believe this was, let's see, I have the card on my phone here for reference. So this is from Bremen. I've been to Germany several times, like I mentioned, but I've never been to Bremen. It's in Northwest Germany, and I've spent most of my time in Southeast Germany, Bavaria. That's where my wife's family was from. But Bremen is quite a large city in Germany. And it was at a hall that the attendance here, we have 9,500 in attendance, so pretty decent turnout. The name of the card on Cage Match is CWA Internationaler Catch Cup 1982 Tag 38, or day, right? That's tag is...
Sure, that's what they used, yeah.
German for day. So day 38 of a long... And Germany does very much like Japanese style tours and a lot of tournaments, right? That's their big thing where most of their main shows, even to this day, are all tournament-based shows. And so this is day 38 of the Catch Cup. This is listed just as a CWA World Heavyweight title match. And the results on Cage Match for Sergeant Slaughter only have him doing this one match in Germany in 1982. So it appears he wasn't there for other dates, but that's not 100% certain, of course, with the results not always being completely accurate. There's Bonds right there. Big man. And yeah, so big show. It's interesting.
Even the referee gets a flag.
Yeah. So, of course, we have the American flag. We have what would have been the West German flag at the time, because this is long before the fall of the Berlin Wall and the reunification. I'm not sure if the other flag was also West German or not.
I was wondering if it was the Austrian for Otto.
Right. Yeah, because that's right. Otto was from Austria. And of course, Austria was a German-speaking country. And so they're very closely related. Now we got the national anthem.
Lights went out for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yeah. Serious moment here. It's like an Olympic event we're about to witness. But it's interesting to see the different the ways wrestling is presented differently in all these countries with their own unique flavor, unique touch.
So Wants was, and he's about a good 25 years into his career at this point.
Okay. So he started in the 50s. Wow.
My math. Okay. My math is a little bit off today. 15 years into his career. 15.
Yeah, that sounds a bit, although I would have believed you because he's one of those guys that looks, you know, he could be in his 50s as far as I know. I don't know. He's someone, when I think of Otto Wands, I just think of someone who was old. I don't think of anyone who was ever young as a wrestler. So then 15 years, okay, so then he started in the mid to late 60s, I guess.
And this is only 2 months after he dropped the AWA title.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, October 82. So, yeah, this is December 82. So only a couple months later. Interesting year for Bonds, 1982. Facing here one of the top American performers at the time. He was Slaughter in 1982 was a top 10 guy, I would say. He was in the Carolinas at this point. He had a very successful run in New York in the early 80s and was in the middle of a very successful run in the Carolinas and was a great, great wrestler at this time. Great bumper, great heel. Otto.
Dirty American refusing to shake the hand.
Yep.
Hearing it from the crowd. Yeah. Oh, no, there you go.
He did. A little hesitation, of course, because he is the heel, although I don't know if he'll play the over-the-top heel that if you've seen Slaughter from this time, he pretty much was a very over-the-top heel. Looks like he's going to be more on the subtle side here. So this is going to be interesting. So it's a rounds system match. And if it's similar to England, that means it's basically a 2 out of 3 falls match. So the first to win 2 falls over the course of how many rounds is the winner. But I'm not 100% sure if that's the rules here.
It's a ring announcer talking over the action. Not a commentator, like an actual ring announcer talking to the crowd.
Interesting. Yeah, you would see that in a few areas, although it's pretty rare, though. I remember the first time I went to a wrestling show, I expected there to be commentary because I only knew wrestling from TV. So when I got there for a live show for the first time, I was not upset, but I was like, where's the commentary?
Where's Lord Alfred Hayes?
Where's the voice of Lord Al or Gorilla Monsoon or Jesse or whatever telling me what's going on? I just assumed that there would be commentary. I didn't realize, you know, I was 9 years old. Or no, I was a little older than that, 11 years old. But still, I just assumed there'd be commentary live at the arena, and there wasn't, of course.
So Vance was so respected, it's like little nuggets here, that actually let Andre, Andre actually let Vance slam him and pin him clean.
Oh, wow. Yeah, then he must have been respected because Andre, I mean, the myth of Andre not being slammed very often and not losing very often, I mean, that's very strong, and it's been proven over the years that, oh no, he was slammed by this guy, slammed by that guy, lost a few times. But even then, he wasn't just losing to anybody. He had to respect that person And so that speaks highly of Otto. If Andre was to do a clean job to him. I'm actually reading the Andre the Giant biography right as we speak. By Pat LaPrade and his partner that I always can never remember the name, and I don't want to butcher the pronunciation, but it's awesome. I highly recommend it. It's really, really, really good.
Slaughter almost bumped over the top rope on a forearm to the back.
Yeah, Slaughter loved the over-the-top rope bumps. Look at how lean he was here. He was basically in his prime. I think Vaughn's was mid-30s or close to 40 at this point. I did check his date of birth earlier. I think it was 1943, if I'm not mistaken. So he would be nearly 40 years old here.
Yeah, 39.
Yeah. Slaughter would have been... guessing maybe right around 30 at this point, early 30s.
Now, did you have the G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter figure as a kid?
I did not. No, I never. I had a lot of G.I. Joes, but I never had any of the ones that you had to order in the mail that you couldn't get in the stores, like Slaughter. There was a Refrigerator Perry one.
Yeah, I have both of those, and I think I have them in the basement somewhere.
Oh, wow.
I feel like my dad brought over the old vehicles like a few years ago, which my child then took out and played with. I have the Slaughter somewhere.
Yeah. No, I had a friend across the street from where I lived at the time who had all those. He had all the regular Joes. He had all the ones you ordered. So, yeah, I got to play with them at his house, but never owned them myself. And, yeah, my G.I. Joes, they didn't survive the 80s, I don't think. I would often I'd get too excited and I would destroy them. Like, I'd have actual wars where guys died and didn't come back, basically. But, to the disappointment of my father, who was, of course, paying for all these toys at the time. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I destroyed or melted most of my G.I. Joes eventually. Yeah. I don't know what that says about me as a person or as a kid, but that's what I did. I did that to my LGN wrestling figures too.
Oh, those with that paint would just come right off?
Yeah. I mean, they would, yeah, exactly. And they weren't, even as a kid, those were disappointing because you couldn't move their arms or legs and they were fixed in poses, and some of the poses weren't actually very conducive to having wrestling matches with.
Did I hear them playing punk music in between rounds?
I believe you're correct. Yeah, that was something someone mentioned in one of the PWO threads, or actually, no, there's a German wrestling thread on PWO that's... there's a lot of posts by a poster named Otani's Jacket, who's a great source of information about international wrestling, specifically European wrestling historically. And he mentioned, like, he's watched so many of these matches that he tries to guess the songs played between rounds, because that was, a feature of German wrestling, that in between rounds they would play pop songs, punk songs, new wave songs. So, yeah, I don't think the audio, I don't have it turned up loud enough. And I'm not even sure if we had the audio up, if we'd be able to recognize them or not, but we'll see.
Yeah, I have it very muted in coming from one ear. And I heard it. I was like, that definitely sounds like a punk beat.
Yeah, oh, probably. This is 1982. That was kind of one of the peaks of punk rock, or in Europe especially. So Slaughter's been healing it up pretty good. He's actually, outside of the first few minutes, he's pretty much just wrestling his normal American heel style for the most part.
Fans really whistling, mm-hmm. showering Slaughter with the Yeah. The booze.
Yeah, the European version of a boo, the whistle. So, Steve, are you familiar with Slaughter, early 80s Slaughter? Have you watched a lot of his matches?
I've watched more in the last couple of years. Probably 83, 84 is more when he was popping up really everywhere at that point.
Yeah, he was, 83. He started the year in the Carolinas, had the famous Final Combat tag match with Don Kernodle, his partner, against Steamboat and Youngblood. And then he went to New York at the end of the year. Yeah, in 84, he had the awesome feud with Iron Sheik that everybody should check out if they haven't seen it. But his early 80s stuff, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend tracking down, especially the feud with Pat Patterson in New York, 1981, that was centered around the Cobra Clutch Challenge, and then the infamous alley fight match at Madison Square Garden between the two.
This wouldn't even be that big of heel work in America at the time, at least getting this kind of crowd reaction.
No, I guess not.
And it's vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, I guess that's one of Lanza's corner men. I'm assuming the bell rung for the end of the round. So Otto was saved by the bell.
Yeah, you can't hear the bell here.
No, not at all. So I think that was the end of the second round. Let's see. Can we hear the music? I can just hear the crowd.
Yeah, there's some music hitting now. Bonds in the late 80s had a mini feud with Vader as well under the Bullpower persona.
Yeah, on YouTube there's a ton of Bullpower versus Otto Bonds matches, all like 30 minutes long too, or the video is 30 minutes. And we considered looking at a Bullpower versus Tatsumi Fujinami match to start the show, but then I checked earlier that it was only 12 minutes of clips of what was a 30-minute match. So with this video being so long as it is, we decided to just go with the one today. But I'd love to see some Bullpower in Germany, Vader in Germany. That would be interesting because he was great at that time, late 80s, early 90s.
Second round firmly in Slaughter's hands there.
Yeah, I wonder if they're using like boxing judging for the rounds, or I don't know. Because then Slaughter's reaction at the end of the round is like, yeah, I won that round sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll have to see. There hasn't really been any pinfalls attempted yet.
Yeah, mostly standing offense with the exception of the stomps.
Yeah.
Slaughter throws some really good punches.
Yeah, lots of clubbering here, and then he busts out a drop kick. Yeah, Vons is just getting pummeled here. Stop the fight! Towel tossed in.
My God.
Wow, oh my God. Oh, spilling to the outside. Jeez.
The ring announcer is screaming now.
Yeah. Now there's an older gentleman trying to restore order. I wonder if Vons is busted open. I don't think so. Got to keep that blood streak going. We would have definitely kept it going if we watched the Bullpower Fujinami match, because the thumbnail for that video is a bloody Bullpower. No.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if there is blood in Germany at this time, if that was something you would see in the early 80s.
Yeah. I don't know. I know it would turn up occasionally in England in the World of Sport matches, but there's Slaughter's, that was his signature bump from that time. And for most of his career, actually, until he got too big to be able to do it. Yeah. Huge pop from the crowd for that one.
Love the huge circles on the trunks of Bonds.
Yeah, I was just about to comment. I'm not sure what.
I don't know if it's like a badge, like a badge or a shield of some sort, or.
Oh yeah, maybe.
It's just the related to Dusty Rhodes polka dot.
Yeah, I was thinking almost polka dots. Yeah. If you didn't know what year it was. It's all well and good
when Bonds does it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now Slaughter's getting a taste of his own medicine. But this outside the ring stuff, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was like the 1950s based on what you're seeing with the black and white and just, yeah, it's hard to tell the year. So this round is over. So far, they've just been beating each other.
Is Slaughter still on the floor?
I think so.
Yeah, he is definitely not in his corner.
Oh, no, there he is. He's.
Fonz is a dirty cheater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't like him already. That's your hero. But, I mean, Slaughter did beat on him for quite a while. I guess it's justified. But Slaughter as a heel, he was good at getting sympathy from the crowd occasionally, like at the end of the famous alley fight with Pat Patterson. He's lost so much blood and he's taken such a beating that he pretty much gets like a standing ovation at the end of it. Oh, jeez. Fonz is relentless now.
Won't even let Slaughter get back in the ring for the next round.
Crowd's loving it. But yeah, it's funny for two guys that haven't wrestled before. They're fighting like it's a blood feud almost.
Some of these stories are really cool. Like he helped a lot of Canadian wrestlers get his start. Like Joe Legend said his first break in Europe was because of Bonds.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know, yeah. Definitely a lot of the Stampede guys went over to Germany at different points for many years, 70s and 80s.
So he won. I mean, this is a solid. You talk about Bruno having a good run. Vance won. He won the title, CWA title, in 1977 in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And then he held it from 78 to 1990.
Really?
Oh, I'm sorry, in 1987.
Okay, still.
So he had it for about 9 years.
Nine years without a single loss. That's crazy.
At least it
was Bull Power that finally beat him, was it not?
Correct.
I believe it was, yeah. That was one of the main matches that made Vader. That one against Vaughn's and then the big one with Inoki. In 88, where he destroyed Inoki. Yeah, I was looking over the
knockout here.
Yeah, I think so. That would be, well, we'll see. We're still not certain what the rules are here. But he, Slaughter made it up. I was looking over the results earlier, and now that you mentioned it about the long Vaughn's title reign, I did come across a result where, yeah, Vaughn's lost to Leon White in the AWA, and it was listed as a title change. But I don't know if that's 100% accurate or not. It was in the States, too. It was in, one of the AWA towns.
Oh, yep. He lost in 87 in Denver. So that's definitely an AWA town.
Yeah.
They would go in there from time to time.
That's interesting. So Vaughn's held it for 9 years and then didn't even drop it in Germany. Dropped it in the States. I guess you could look at
that. Promoter.
Yeah. But you could also, I guess, look at it as, you know, he was showing how, you know, much of a star he was internationally, that he lost it in the States maybe. But yeah, mostly it was probably just to prevent him from having to lose in front of the Germans.
End of the fourth round there?
I guess.
Oh, that was dirty.
Slaughter's been taking a whooping. Yeah, I don't know what kind of rules were.
He stepped right on his other leg at the end of the round as he's walking back to his corner.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Vaughn's isn't afraid to heal it up. We got some song playing, but
so I'm giving rounds 1, 3, and 4 to Vaughn so far, 2 to Slaughter. So I'm scoring at home.
Okay, I should have been too. Yeah. So yeah, Vaughn's got round 1, 2. Slaughter definitely, yeah, won round 2, but yeah, it's been all Vaughn's otherwise. Slaughter's even selling that he needs some attention here before this next round starts.
Oh, they're starting the count.
It's interesting. I mean, you'd presume this is the first match that Slaughter wrestled under the round system, you know, having to just go with it.
Round's only like 40 seconds long, and Vaughn's has already broken the count twice. He's the heel. He's supposedly the face, but he's the heel in my book.
No, well, I agree. He's not very sympathetic, that's for sure. He's dominating.
It's like Hogan.
Yeah, but even, I mean, Hogan would sell a ton and often for like 80% of the match sometimes. Bruno would sell a ton. Pedro Morales would sell a ton. He's kind of Backlund-like, because Backlund definitely liked to be on top for most of the match. That was just how he was booked. That was actually a Vince Sr. sort of decision to make Backlund always look strong, because he was always a little uncertain about his drawing power, so he had to make Bob always dominant. But yeah, most of the top heroes through history would sell a ton. So I know Vaughn's is controversial. Haven't really read too many glowing reviews about him over the years online. Not that he gets talked about a ton, but not too much praise. And there's apparently a ton of long German matches out there for one to judge if they want.
It's a strategy you don't see very often, where the transition is a blow to the gut and then the guy just starts working the stomach. Like Slaughter's just been headbutting and kicking in the gut.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't see stomach psychology anymore. That's good.
They guessed if you're like Bonson. Have a pretty large gut. Not the worst strategy psychology-wise to wear them down and make them breathe a little harder.
Yeah, too many beers and sausages for Otto.
Too many knockwurst.
Yeah, let's see. He keeps coming back, just like Backlund.
Sergeant Slaughter is great.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hold on to the ropes for dear life just to be pulled out of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy a lot of people would, you know, think of as a cartoon character because he actually literally was a cartoon character at one point in the 80s. They think about him based on his run as the Iraqi sympathizer, which had a lot of good stuff too. But a lot of people don't know about Slaughter's early days in the from this time period and before, where he was just awesome. So good. A great heel and then a great baby face when he turned to go against the Sheik.
It's almost like a reset to the match here in round five.
Yeah, there hasn't been much technical wrestling. It's been pretty much just slugging. And yeah, pinfalls are just not a thing at all.
Yeah, they're more counting, not even submissions.
Yeah.
More going for the knockout.
It's like bare knuckle boxing, basically. Again, the corner man. Slaughter's finally had enough of this jabroni. Yeah, give him a few forearms. Yeah.
Again, like, get out of the ring. Like, it's like, Vance was hitting him after the bell. Vance hit him before the bell.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is...
I'm with you, Sarge. You're my great American hero.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love Sarge, but yeah. Based on the story of this match or the way it's been laid out, I'm 100% behind Slaughter too. Vaughn's in his flunky corner, man. Nice. Vaughn's is selling exhaustion, getting a rub down.
Oh, this is a great quote. Are you familiar with Big John Quinn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Canadian wrestler.
From Ontario?
Yeah. The brother of Pat Quinn, who was a longtime NHL coach, head coach.
So this is from the Slam obituary. Quinn is decidedly not a fan, calling him a, quote, wannabe. Though he admits to making money with Vance. This is the great quote. Otto believed in Otto. Otto should have either been a wrestler or a promoter, and he should have dropped out and been a promoter because he kept pushing himself. The towns were getting smaller and smaller, and he couldn't see it. He was a terrible wrestler, but he started to believe his own publicity. He threatened me in the dressing room one day. I looked at him and said, what? He said he was going to punch me out. I said, what? For one thing, he couldn't even catch me, let alone punch me out.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the controversies. Well, yeah, he pushed himself way too long and couldn't stop and just let the territory basically die.
Now we're getting some more mat work here. Is this round six?
That sounds about right. Yeah, well, he was definitely a star at his peak. And, I mean, can't really judge based on one match what his appeal exactly was.
He's not bad.
No.
He's not bad here.
No, he's not. But he's not great by no means. Yeah.
Yeah, big dude.
Oh, I think we even had a bit of a cut there. Yeah, big man. You can see, I mean, you play the local hero card. Definitely be popular that way. But then he's a guy that would have been exposed when the style of wrestling changed, got faster, and yeah, guys who could do more in the ring became more popular, and then he got older. So yeah, I mean, and being the promoter, you know, it's happened to a lot of guys where they kept going, kept promoting themselves as stars and just couldn't admit or whatever that they were no longer a big deal. And, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of promoters were able to recognize that they had to step back and start pushing new talent, but a lot didn't. Too bad for Otto. He just let it die. Yeah.
Chucked over the top.
Yeah, a lot of these look at me displays of strength by Otto.
That's the end of round six. Meanwhile, Slaughter, like, selling the arms on punches like a champ. Mm-hmm. Punch, sell the arm, punch, sell the arm.
Yeah, Slaughter's great.
Well, it's interesting, even with crowd reactions, that spot where he got dumped over the top rope didn't even get that big of a response from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of a march song in the background between rounds is getting mm-hmm. a huge response.
Yeah. Ch, 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 ch,
ch. Whoa.
Slaughter's still got lots in him.
Got some moxie.
So we got what? This is the seventh round? Okay. Huh. No idea how this is going to turn out. Other that Slaughter's not going to win. We know that for sure.
Yes, it's really interesting psychology, though. Like, the action isn't top notch, but like the psychology of the round system.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, a front like chancer like that, like a front face lock's illegal.
Hmm.
Is a ref made a break?
Yeah, I don't know. This is definitely, you know, a lot of people say something like lucha is hard to comprehend. Watching mm-hmm. it sort of cold. This is really hard to comprehend a lot of it.
I think this ref is basically German David Manning.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, Juan seems like he has a bunch of cronies. Slaughter, God. The punches that he's had to throw in this match.
Raining some elbows.
There we go. Are we going to get a count or what? Yeah. See, I just don't understand what they're going for exactly. Like, what's the objective here? Do pinfalls count, or are they going for knockouts?
It feels like they're going for knockouts.
Yeah.
watch like two rounds from now and they go for a quick pin and it's
yeah,
over.
That'll probably be how it ends. Yeah. Flash pin.
Yeah. But that's the way the psychology of the match is, with the crowd getting behind the ref counts and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back outside here.
I see Sarge pop one of these people sitting at ringside. I don't know if they're judges or media or.
I don't know. Well, we got about 15 minutes left in the video. Let's see how this
goes. I do have to say this has gone pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of much of the same.
Yeah.
They've kind of gone through the same brawling on the outside spots a few times. Get back in the ring, the same kind of slugging. Hasn't been a ton of progression so far. But we'll see what they do with the remaining time.
Yeah, we'll build and then settle back down and then build a bit again.
Yeah.
But never get to the next level. Oh, wait, this could be next level.
Let's see. Big slam.
Yeah. Big high spot of the match.
Yeah, exactly. There's hardly been any.
Here comes this loser again. Look at him cheat.
Again, the bell ringing.
Yeah. Have you heard the bell at all? Because I have not.
No, I don't know. There must be something, though. But, yeah. Unless there's just a clock or something that they all are aware of. I don't know.
Oh, rock around the clock?
Yeah, okay. Recognize that one. Interesting. Like I said, it feels like a 50s mash kind of with the look of things. So it's appropriate we get a 50s song here. Yeah, just looking at it right now, it looks totally like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So grainy. Bill Haley in the comments. Oh, my God. Yeah, this has been, it's definitely been interesting. But yeah, Otto Vons is definitely living up to his reputation here. Can only imagine what he was like in the late 80s against Vader. Dear Lord.
And if Vader just got pissed off and started potatoing him?
Probably not, because Vader would have been making some decent money maybe and getting pushed. But who knows, maybe at the end he got fed up with Otto's bullshit.
It's one of my favorite things in wrestling. Is Vader throwing those forearms and
yeah.
Oh
yeah, there's the big one. Slaughter loved the ring post bump. So the blood streak may be intact here, Steve. That's usually a spot where Slaughter gets busted open. Let's see.
Hard to tell on Paramount Television here.
Yeah, on the Dumont Network.
Yeah, the Dumont, yes. Even older.
Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah. This is coming from the Dumont Network. No, I don't think he did. Blade, unfortunately.
Hey, he's putting the count in pretty early now.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's in cahoots with Otto.
Oh, geez, he did it again.
Oof. And this spot, too. That's a bully heel spot, stepping on his back.
I thought for a second earlier that Vance had That doesn't look like he's bleeding.
No, that's just his little bit of hair that he still his had on top.
Little tuft.
Yeah.
No blood in West Germany, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to go to East Germany to see the bloody matches. That was a bloody territory.
Yeah, I was just wondering that in my head. Like, after I said that, would they travel over to East Germany?
No, I think it would have been pretty strictly enforced, like the borders at that time. And I don't know, I don't think pro wrestling was a thing in the communist countries, as far as I know. Too decadent. Decadent American pro wrestling. We don't like that here. This has been bizarre. But yeah, I officially hate Otto Vons now. It's just God, nothing redeeming about this guy at all.
It's a dirty heel.
Yeah, his wrestling style sucks. He's in cahoots with everybody. There's no sympathy to the guy. It's no.
Dude, he's attacking again, second time before the round begins.
Jesus.
Oh, he's actually getting some booze.
Good, as well he should. But maybe there's some American servicemen
in the crowd.
Yeah, well, even at that time, there had been still a lot of, I think, American servicemen in certain parts of Germany.
Yeah, Rammstein is the big air base out there. I don't know how close that my German geography knowledge is.
Yeah.
Sadly, far gone.
No, I outside of the southeast of Germany, I don't know it too well myself.
I've lost track of rounds too. Is 9?
Could be. Oh, slaughter cannon almost there. Clipped them. Big knee.
Or Slaughter's baton. What are you doing, Slaughter? Oh, it hit it.
Nice.
Not for sure Vons is going to move out of the way.
Yeah. Let's see. He's obviously going to, probably go to the well too many times here. Yep. Slaughter liked this bump as much as Ric Flair did. Ugh. Horrible looking.
Oh, my God.
Somersaults. Please, no.
I could literally do that move better. I'm not even like trying to brag or anything. I could easily do that better.
Yeah, no. I can't imagine. He put himself in there, some pretty awesome workers. I can't imagine. I mean, Nick Bockwinkel is one of the awesome workers from this time, too. Can't imagine him having to pull something out of this stiff.
Too bad that's in Chicago. Too bad that's in the U.S. because that could be.
Yeah.
Watch the Bockwinkel Vons series.
Yeah, I don't think there's footage of those guys out there. There may be, but I don't know. Maybe the title win in St. Paul. I think actually there's footage of that match.
Oh, that's it?
Submission. Boston Crab.
Berlin Crab.
Berlin Crab. Bremen Crab. No, Bremen.
Yeah, Bremen Crab. The Bremen Crab, yep. He only pulls that out in Bremen.
Oy. Well, we knew what the finish was going to be. It was eventually going to be an auto win. Yeah, he's just too limited, not giving enough, doesn't sell well at all. So that made this match pretty hard to, wasn't compelling at all, really. Slaughter was perfectly fine.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. But he was just, it was a pretty tough challenge to get anything.
It's outmatched by the entire country of West Germany and Austria.
Yeah. Yeah, the fans are right up to ringside now. Pretty impressive looking belt that he's got.
There's still a couple of boos in there.
Yeah, they were already sick of him. Well, he won the title in 78. So he's 4 years in. But look, he's got quite the cheering section right there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Look at these guys.
Not an auto chance.
Beat the big, bad American villain. So that helps.
Man, that belt is straining.
Yeah. It's on the very last notch.
It's got extenders on.
God. Horrible. Why would you like this man? It's just show off. Yeah. Slaughter. Look at him. He's defeated. Getting sympathy.
Well, he sells. He's selling, right?
Yeah. I know.
That's taking the beating, making big comebacks.
Yeah. It's a big difference. Oh, and Otto gets, is that a giant, like, champagne magnum or something?
That thing's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Slaughter, get over his head.
That would have been great. Set up a rematch after Slaughter smashes the bottle over Otto's head and makes him bleed like a stuck pig.
Hey, we should be booking for Otto.
Yeah.
Well, they can't all be 5 stars.
No. I mean, when I put out the call on PWO, if anybody thought this was any good, you know, let me know sort of thing. And I didn't get too many takers. So I was kind of sure that it wasn't going to be spectacular. But I had to, with Slaughter at this time, I just had to go with it because early 80s Slaughter is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. Some lady just hopped in the ring.
Yeah. I had to kiss.
Get a little bit of the Vaughns.
Got a little bit of the Vaughns. Just the celebration never ends. Now he's got wreaths.
Poor Slaughter's just going to sit there and take it.
Yeah. Like, come on. That's enough. Even right, Hogan.
They need a big check.
Even Hogan knew when to stop with the post-match celebrations. Come on.
What's this now?
There's a medal.
Oh, medal. Yeah. Great. 2 giant bouquets, now a medal.
This is just everything.
The biggest champagne bottle I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The belt.
Yeah. No, and
is that a trophy now?
Medal trophy.
Oh,
too.
My God.
Yeah. Jesus. Everything. Every possible award. Oh, Slaughter's getting the silver. Otto just tossing the flowers into the crowd. Slaughter, I don't want your stinking flowers. You maggots.
You lost the war.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, take the champagne. Take it. Carried this guy to a 40-minute match.
This was the hardest match.
I did it.
I carried this stiff on my back for 40 freaking minutes. I'm never wrestling here again. But there is a match from 1983 between these two from Germany that's out there.
It was Broadway.
I think it's considerably shorter than this match, like 20.
Oh, that's a shame.
25 minutes or so. Yeah, I know. Slaughter is like, no, if we're going to wrestle again, no more of this 9-round bullshit. No handshake.
Oh, why would you shake his hand?
Yeah.
The ref was crooked.
Exactly.
The corner man was interfering.
Yeah, no, the deck was stacked against Slaughter. That was bad in many ways. But, I mean, it was worth watching for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a luck of the draw situation. I knew going in that one, the odds for that one being a great match, that they were probably like 100-1 or something like that. But, no, that was interesting. I know now not to watch any more Otto Vaughn's matches, except maybe check out a Bull Power one and maybe the rematch with Slaughter just to see if it's any better. But yeah, Steve, what were your thoughts on that one?
Oh gosh, I think I made him pretty clear. yeah. Slaughter carried him to, I mean, I would say the first 3 rounds were actually pretty good, because the first round's more of a feeling out process, and that's
right
with most rounds matches, that's going to be the case. But they kind of picked up, and it just never really got anywhere from there.
Exactly. They just kept repeating the same spots, the same motions, and just, yeah. It was basically the first 3 rounds times 3, basically. But yeah, I mean, interesting, I guess. I don't know, I don't think there was a single pinfall attempted, which is, that's definitely interesting. I don't know if
that must have been the rules, or who knows.
Yeah, I guess maybe they didn't do pins. I don't know. At that time, it's interesting.
We didn't say on the air the most important fact about Otto.
Okay.
That he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for tearing up telephone books.
Oh, really? Even to this day? Yep.
I don't know if to this day. I'll have to check the old record books.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he was first before he was ever a pro wrestler, is that he was a strong man doing freakish feats of strength and all that. And, you know, he definitely, yeah. I mean, at that time, legit credentials were more important than any ability in a lot of ways, where you were trying to sell the fact that wrestling was real and this was legit, and oh, here's a legit strong man. We'll teach him enough to be able to do a halfway decent match and then just, you know, use his reputation to make him a star. But that's, yeah, it's a bygone era for sure. That's another interesting aspect to that whole thing, is that that's something that just doesn't exist anymore. That's, and that style of wrestling and that type of wrestler just doesn't exist anymore. But I think we'll go back to Germany in the future, get, you know, 2 matches, definitely see Bull Power at some point. I've always been interested about the wrestler Rambo, who was like a big star in early 90s Germany. You'd always, I'd have all the magazines back then and his name would be always there. He was like the perennial champion after Vaughn's, I guess. And I'm not even sure. I think Rambo was an American, but I'm not 100% sure. But he was, yeah, the name Rambo was always associated with German wrestling in the early 90s.
He's from Montreal.
Oh, okay. So he was Quebecois. Interesting. But yeah, I'd have never seen him wrestle, but he was it's a name from my youth in the wrestling magazines. I've always been kind of curious to see. So maybe we'll do that sometime. But
oh my God, he was in the Truth Commission in the WWF.
Oh, okay.
As Sniper.
Sniper, okay. I mean, that's
probably
been so many years since I've seen that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And they were barely on at that point. They're just around for a smidge.
Yeah, I mean, they were on for a good few months. But yeah, no, I couldn't picture them. But yeah, that's interesting that that's who that was. Well, that was an interesting stable because you had guys from that otherwise were never associated with WWF that mm-hmm. came in and were part of that. Don Callis eventually was part of it. And yeah, interesting. Another Canadian, of course. So next time, I don't know. I think I have a few ideas. I haven't really talked about this with you, Steve, but I was thinking maybe Puerto Rico next time.
I'm always open to that.
Yeah, I think we should do something that features the image for the show, the International House of Combat logo with Carlos Colon and Abdul the Butcher. I think we should finally look into a match with those participants involved and do a whole Puerto Rico show. I think that'll be a fun time. So
we've seen them both, but not together. And
yes,
if we didn't have blood on this show, we need to double it.
Exactly. We got to make up for the lack of blood here. Maybe every match we look at will be a bloodbath next time. Definitely the anything involving Abby will be bloody. So yeah, that's I think next time we'll do a all Puerto Rico episode. So how are things with the main event in Place to Be Nation these days, Steve?
Well, main event is we just did, let's see, I think last week when we talked, we were just about to tape, we did a lot of Impact actually about things because they had a pay-per-view on television they took their pay-per-view Rebellion and put it on TV for 2 weeks straight. Yeah. Which wasn't a bad choice, actually. And it was the first time I watched current Impact in years. And it wasn't bad, considering they didn't have a lot of their roster there. Definitely more interesting to me than watching WWE. I like the way they filmed. And then we looked back at some old TNA in 2002, which is always a pleasure. Like, this is five stars. Well, you always get good X Division stuff in there.
Right.
So you get your AJ, you got your Jerry Lynn, you got a young, amazing Red. There's always really good stuff, but Vince Russo is on screen now, so.
Oh, God.
But yeah, besides that, that is pretty much what I'm doing there and doing some stuff at the Kings of Sport as well.
That would have been a perfect place for Otto Vons to turn up. It would have been 2002.
You could join the Harris brothers and Road Dogg with Vince Russo in their stable.
Oh, there you go. That was a missed opportunity for TNA. That would have maybe made them popular back then instead of nearly going out of business. Crazy. Yeah, well, I mean, these days I'm not watching much wrestling myself. I did watch the NWA Superpower episode from a few days ago because I'm a big fan of NWA, and that was the first new product they had out in quite some time and could be the only new product in quite some time. But yeah, other than that, it's just kind of this show and what I watch for WorldCast. And speaking of WorldCast, yeah, we're still chugging along in 1984. We got a big card coming up for the next show. We're looking at a show from Fort Worth, Texas. So definitely something we haven't done too often because we're always in the Sportatorium. This footage is all on YouTube. I have a playlist set up. They had a Star Wars level supercard at the end of January 1984 in Fort Worth. And most of the matches are on YouTube. So I thought we would check out. Yeah, it's got a big Freebirds versus Von Erichs tag for the six-man belts. It's got a pretty infamous match between Ric Flair and Mike Von Erich that has been referenced quite a lot over the years because Mike Von Erich was literally like 2 months into the business and 19 years old at this point, and he's going up against the NWA World Champion Ric Flair. So that one, from a historical perspective, is definitely going to be very interesting to look at. So yeah, that's the next WorldCast. And yeah, like I said, next week we'll do Puerto Rico. And yeah, that's about it for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed this look into German wrestling from 1982. Good night.
Love you, Otto.